always a pleasure.
Were you just as shocked as a lot of the rugby league community when you heard that JP was coming out of retirement?
Yes and no. Yes, because I thought that it would be fitting for him to go out on the finest possible stage, and there could be no greater fairy tale than Old Trafford and the three amigos arm in arm, riding off into the sunset, having achieved everything. And you would have thought that personally and professionally, he wouldn't want to tarnish that image. But then, you know, 12 months down the line, you look at the state that Hull KR are in, trying to preserve their Super League status, and all the things that are happening around the club at the moment as regards players not being available for one reason or another. And I'm guessing that because he thinks even his livelihood might be at stake if they were to go down, that the only thing he can do is to lace up the new boots and try and do it one more time.
Well, that's just what I wanted to pick up on there, because there's been some comments from some Leeds Rhinos fans that I've seen that have called and saying, well, he didn't come to our crisis during the season. Is that a bit unfair, really, a bit harsh? Because it seems like it's two different types of crisis between what was at Leeds and now at Hull KR.
I suspect that his time at Leeds ended when the Super League trophy was put down next to the other two, and his job as a player at Leeds finished. He made the, I think, correct career decision to move in another direction, to try his hand at being a director of rugby and instilling the culture that he was such a part of at Leeds in the dressing room at Hull KR. That was the next challenge for him. His body was absolutely broken at the end of last year as well. I think what people may forget is that, you know, for almost 6 years, Leeds barely missed a round of rugby with the success that they had. And the age that he went on to, 37, that's just ridiculously astonishing. And the stats that he was producing in the final games of his career put him up there with the very, very best. But it took an enormous toll. And again, I'm not surprised that it's a year since he took his boots off and he's putting them on again. He may not have the aerobic capacity straight away, but I reckon he would have needed at least a year of healing for all the scars that he'd put into those astonishing performances, those, you know, leave nothing left on the pitch performances that he did for Bradford and Leeds and his country.
That's something I wanted to pick up on there, Phil, because he's 38 years old now. I mean, what can we be expecting from Hull KR? Is it all about those leadership qualities, or will he still be adding something to that forward pack?
I think it's entirely about leadership. I think you can talk as much as you like and try and instill in people in lecture theatre situations and in dressing rooms before they go out exactly what you expect of them and how you think they may be able to achieve the common goal. But actually, there's nothing quite like having a guy at the front of that showing you how it's done. Hull KR have got some great youngsters coming through, and I have seen some debates about, you know, this is an insult to their youth policy. It actually isn't. If they got relegated, that would probably be the end of their youth policy. But in kids like Matty Marsh, who is a real prospect at halfback, George Lawler, who has been in great faith in as a hooker, at this stage in their career, it's unfair and unrealistic to expect them to save Hull KR from potential relegation. That they're barely into the start of their Super League careers. Nobody could have scripted over at New Craven Park the fact that certainly they would lose Terry Campese for the bulk of the season, who is their genuine leader. You've now got all the issues surrounding Albert Kelly, and again, I think to take a principled stance and say, you know, we're not going to include him. All of this part of the season is about unity and closeness and relying on your mate and being together. All of that kind of thing is undermined when a player doesn't come back when he should do. So I think you take him out of the equation. I also think Ken Seo was a massive influence for them. He's had a great season, just such a powerful runner at the back. He's now gone. And no coincidence, I think, that when he went off against Lee, that the ship began to tilt a little bit. So where do you turn to? You've actually got within your organisation the guy who is acknowledged by his contemporaries as arguably the finest foot soldier of his generation. So, you know, if he says, I'm going to pull on the boots, if he says, I'll do spells of 20 minutes or whatever I can, and he inspires those around him and they come up with the results that they need to start again next year, knowing that they're in Super League, then in a way it has to be done.
I mean, right, Phil, everything that's been said about Jamie Peacock is very, very true. I mean, everything he achieved over at the Bradford Bulls earlier in his career and then over at the Leeds Rhinos, he's won just about everything achieved. A lot of stuff on the international stage as well. But would this tarnish his legacy a little bit if Hull KR did end up getting relegated?
I think he would feel that he personally had done everything that he could to prevent that. There's all sort of talks about, you know, the veracity or otherwise of the eights and what it means. In some ways, coming in against a team like London, for example, is less onerous than if he was to be playing Warrington this weekend. So I can see why on every level it sort of works. It's going to come down, by the look of it, to the final game of the actual eight structure between Hull KR and Huddersfield. And it's possible that the loser of that game will be in the £1 million game and the winner will be safe. So Jamie Peacock's given himself two matches to come up. I think he will play through the remaining three of the season to come to that final all-encompassing, all-deciding tie, if you like, almost like his last cup final of his career. And I think he needs these two games to get him back up to match fitness. But if he can pull it off, for him personally, it'll rank alongside those other achievements. If they don't, then the actual price is bigger than whether he's tarnished his reputation or not. Is will he even have a job at Hull KR if they're not in the Super League? How many of the players that he's playing alongside, who also will have contracts on the line that will be null and void if they get relegated, that they need something? They need this injection of belief, I think, and camaraderie, and somebody who will just put the flag up and say, follow me, I know how to get us out of this. In so many respects, it actually works rather than tarnishes. And if anybody can do it, he's the man that can do it.
There's no doubt about that. I think if he did pull it off, it would be one of the greatest stories ever told. I think there'd be people trying to buy the film rights of this story if he did try that.
I think his story lends itself to a film anyway. I think what he's achieved, when you think that he was going to be cut from Bradford at the age of 19, and now here we are talking about him 20 years later as not only being the icon of a generation, but now moving into another club to try and write history. It is just a tremendous story, and someone who, when you are in his presence, has an aura about him. And there aren't too many people that you come across that you can say that.
That is very, very true. I wonder who would play him as well, Phil. That'd be one of the biggest questions coming out of that as well. I have to ask as well, Phil, just looking at some of the comments that we've seen regarding Jamie Peacock being able to play, does it make a bit of a mockery of any kind of transfers that have been able to make by some of these clubs? Is it about time that a transfer window was imposed on some of these Super League clubs in the qualifiers as well?
Well, there is a signing deadline of the end of July. He was registered because they had an injury crisis at the time, so his name was sent forward to Red Hall. There's absolutely no problem with his registration. I don't think it's any different to, for example, Lee signing Matty Dawson from St Helens in the run-up to that cut-off deadline. I think we've just about got that right. There's an interesting issue on the salary cap. I'm assuming that if their salary cap is all but full, he's certainly not being paid as a player. He'll be taking his wage as the director of rugby. So I don't think there's an issue there. There's no breach of salary cap. I think the wider issue, and one that will probably be debated at the end of the season when we all look at whether we think the eight has worked, irrespective of whether the governing body will make a change in the next year, is do we genuinely have enough quality players playing rugby league at the moment? And if we don't, how do we rectify that? And if that means at least bringing in a reserve grade to keep more players involved in the sport rather than cutting them at 19, as the top four teams in Super League have done this year. Now, they've had to play friendlies against each other, but I don't think it's any coincidence that Warrington and Hull and Wigan and St Helens have all self-funded and run a reserve grade this year. All of that, I think, needs looking at. The length of the season, how we've got to this number of injuries at all clubs. I mean, we're looking at Castleford this weekend. Three young kids are in their 19, which obviously means at least one of them is going to play. And I think if you sat down at the beginning of the season and spoke to their coaching staff and said, these guys are going to be making a contribution, I think this is far too early for them. You know, and again, all of this, you've got Jamie Peacock at one end who's having to come back. You've got young kids playing at the other end who probably aren't quite ready. All of this says something about, are we getting it quite right as regards the quality and the quantity of rugby league that's being played at the moment?
Oh, certainly looking forward to debating all those issues with you, Phil, later on in the season. And looking forward to this weekend's games. Look, I take on the London Broncos in what should be a very, very feisty tie. Phil, it's always a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks a lot for joining us here on the Daytimes.
Anytime.